Area Hickory Motor Speedway on Paragon Hill tonight at the races.
Robert, you waited a long time for this one. Congratulations. You are a winner at Daytona.
I think you're after what I'm saying. Oh, yeah, you know, I've said before, it don't matter if you land a motorcycle, go-karts, or stock car here. You're at Daytona Speedway.
Hey, celebrate it, enjoy it.
Thank you.
How's it feel, champ?
It feels so good. It's really special to me and my family.
Hey, but look at that 21. That's R.J. Williams trying to get to the inside of Hollowfield. 37. Landon Huffman's car piloted by Travis Brown today. Travis from Rome, Georgia.
Pockets and Brews, I'm definitely drinking a lot of alcoholic beverages at Pockets and Brews in Claremont. So if anybody wants to come join, the offer's there.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Huffman Racing Radio. My name's Landon Huffman. Sitting at the table with me today is Hoosier Daddy Seth Brotherton and RJ Williams. How we doing, fellas?
I've got heartburn.
Why?
I don't know. It must have been something I ate.
What'd you eat?
What, McDonald's? So I'm going to eat that later.
Do you get heartburn often?
Yeah, I'm old.
Do you use the McDonald's app to save money?
Damn right, and get them points. And all right, yep.
This is a real question for you, RJ. Do you not think that your heartburn has something to do with the 3 packs of cigarettes you smoke a day?
Partially, yes.
I would say that's
and the NOS energy drinks.
Yes, 2 NOS energy drinks and 3 packs
NOS
of cigarettes.
A day.
How many packs of cigs?
A pack of smokes gets me through 2 days, unless I'm going to the racetrack. And that's a pack of smoke the whole
time. Why more at the racetrack?
Well, like I deal with
nerves. Because he can't read a stagger tape.
Now, you try to introduce his damn newfangled damn stagger tape to an old man,
yeah,
when an old man likes to do it his way.
Landon was preaching the stagger tape, and it's just...
It is way easier. First of all...
It is for people that can't read tape measures.
Okay, exactly.
Can you read a tape measure?
RJ can't read a tape measure, and then he can't read...
I seem to do pretty damn fine all by my damn self over there.
And then he can't read the tape measure designed to help people that can't read tape measures.
That thing was stupid.
So what do you do at that point?
Okay, were them tires wrong? Were they put on the car wrong? Because I used my regular old damn tape measure to tape them.
No, when I came back there, they're 3 inches the wrong way, and you were trying to figure out. You was purging tires and shit because you had tape measure wrong.
Well, if he measured them wrong consistent, the 3 inches off wouldn't have mattered.
It wasn't consistent because a couple of them he measured right. In his defense,
so he had
seven inches
of rear stagger circle.
Yes. In his defense, I understand.
We're talking about on Friday here.
I understand how you could do that with that tape measure. However, it was designed to make life easy. And naturally, in the typical Huffman Racing way, we figured out
how to
screw it up.
I was fussing about RJ on the way down the road Friday.
What happened?
Well, after about that fifth time he asked me if I had a stagger tape.
I was under the impression you're going to be there.
Yeah, on 3 different phone numbers, and you don't know which one's him or which one's a parody
then
account.
Then he's talking about he's already got his tires on Friday. I'm like, hell yeah, do them today.
Yeah,
and he said he was just going to let them soak and do them tomorrow. I'm getting them done on Friday.
What'd Rob
say? I'm going to recheck them Saturday morning, but the rest of the time I'm hanging out.
What'd Rob say before we left Landon?
Put them at 25 and leave them.
Okay. Well, that's what I say in my text.
That's what I would have still done. I would have just went ahead and made my set on Friday and then rechecked them on Saturday and make sure they were still good.
My two biggest would have been on one side and my two smallest on the other.
Don't tell the secrets.
I didn't tell what sides.
So Seth didn't come to the racetrack this weekend, as most of you have already figured out. Or if you listen to this podcast weekly, you would know that.
RJ is on the podcast weekly and didn't know I wasn't coming, so how's that work?
Well, RJ, clearly, with discussion that we've had prior to the podcast, RJ is not always up to sniff on the next and greatest latest at Huffman Racing. And then he likes to complain about it. But
greatest is debatable.
Yeah.
Latest, okay.
We raced at Tri-County this past weekend, both limited and late model. I ran a limited race, and we had Jaden...
Krusty Coochie.
Which we found out that his last name is pronounced Kratasi. So Jaden drove our late model stock car, and we had 2 solid finishes, 2 second-place finishes. We'll talk about that. But happy Halloween, fellas.
Yeah. Happy Halloween.
You celebrating, RJ?
Yeah, of course.
You going trick-or-treating?
Hell no.
You got a pretty nice neighborhood.
No kid that ever came to my door in the 5 years I lived there.
Why not?
I ain't got the porch light on. Damn thing shut and locked.
He ain't got nothing to hand out with Marlboros and frozen dinners.
Yeah. You can get that Lean Cuisine.
Well, I don't eat that.
They probably do trunk or treat at the church right behind you.
That's what I'm going to do tonight. I'm going to turn my damn carport light on.
I ain't going to
And if somebody shows up, I'm
going to
start handing them shit out of the fridge I mean to throw away anyway.
You're not going to trunk or treat, RJ?
I ain't gonna go to no damn Episcopalian church. I'm gonna have you singing, speaking in damn tongues by the time I leave there.
Have you met anybody?
That's just not the rattlesnakes he's gonna handle tonight. Right?
Oh, welcome to episode 29 of Hup and Racing Radio. We really
Maybe
appreciate 30. You guys being here. We're not sure if it's 29 or 30. We appreciate you guys being here. We're going to have some fun with it, discuss what happened to us this past weekend, and Lord knows what else. But, yeah, thank you guys for being here. We're going to go ahead and hop right into this episode, episode 29.
Maybe 30.
Saturday night, we made the trip on up to, Hudson, North Carolina, to Tri-County Speedway.
Baton.
It's what?
It's in Baton.
Baton?
Yes, it's in Baton.
That's not true.
Yes, it is. The school is right behind the damn racetrack.
Then why does their website say Tri-County Speedway in Hudson, North
Carolina?
Because
Baton isn't, like, the real city.
Okay, so it's Hudson.
No, it's in Baton. It's in Baton.
It's just like Catfish.
Yes, just like Catfish.
Catfish doesn't have a physical address.
Correct.
But it's a place.
Correct. Just like Catfish.
But it's also Claremont.
Right.
So, I'm not wrong.
It has a Claremont zip code.
Correct.
But that area of the county is called Catfish.
And that area of Caldwell County is called Baton.
Well, or Hudson, Method. North Carolina, Tri-County Speedway. And this was our third or fourth trip up there. That was our third trip, Huffman Racing trip.
This year,
yeah. And 23 limited late models. And I believe they had 15 late model stocks. So, good field in both divisions. Jaden qualified fourth and
in all divisions.
Well, actually, yeah, that is true. They had some hellacious wrecks, man. We'll get to that. But yeah, they had good car count in all divisions. We finished second in both limited and late model.
The Huffman Racing Way.
A little bit of controversy in the late model stock race. Kind of. I mean, we weren't really in the middle of it. We were kind of a benefactor of it.
You're trying to stir it up.
Well, I mean, rightfully,
let's be honest.
Well, rightfully, I still think we won the race.
Well, I mean, if he stopped, yeah, we won the damn race.
Well, it doesn't matter if he stopped. We were the first back to the checkered flag.
It wasn't actually a checkered flag. It was a yellow flag.
Well, yeah, they never even threw the checkered.
Very confusing.
The race is still going on.
Well, I think that this is... Okay, so backtrack here. For those of you that don't know what happened, we were running, battling for fourth, but we were running fifth, racing with 09 of Riley Gentry. And this is Jaden driving, not the limited race. This is late model stock. And Michael Bumgarner, Thomas Bean, and Mitch Walker were racing for the lead. They got together on the final lap off turn two, clobbered the outside wall, destroyed all three cars, and Jaden made a great maneuver to the bottom.
And hammered her down.
Avoided all the carnage, came out the other end in the lead, and then was coming back around to what would have been the lap 75 checkered flag, and they threw the yellow as Jaden was crossing under the stripe. But the scoring remained green, as if we were finishing the race. So all the cars that were rolling crossed the line and completed lap 75, which would have awarded Jaden the win. However, Tri-County has a rule that if the caution comes out on the final lap, and apparently this is a new rule that they changed that from the previous rule, but if a caution comes out on the final lap, they revert back to the previous lap and no one races back to the line. And if you're not involved in the caution, then it reverts back to the last completed lap. And that's the order that they go by. So,
but that's 74 laps, not 75.
Correct.
Laps.
So it'd be the trick or treat 74 instead of trick or treat 75.
So that leads to, did the 09 stop?
He didn't stop completely.
Okay. So he wasn't involved in the wreck.
Correct, which they also say that part of their rule is you may stop to avoid contact as long as you don't make contact. If you make contact, then you are considered a part of the race.
Well, hell, I trump on the brakes and barely scrub the wall, and I said, I didn't hit nothing, but I got the marks on the car.
Well, I mean, you did hit something, though.
Well, I'd argue that. I didn't hit nothing. That happened in practice.
Well, there's that happened
on lap two.
Okay, well, either way, by their rule, we did finish second behind the 09. But
I think it would be much easier just to revert back to the last lap, have a restart, and finish under the checkered flag.
Completely agree that they should have a restart, and their argument was that no tracks do that, and that's not true because Hickory does it, and a lot of other places do it as well.
Let's not compare Hickory.
Well, I mean, I think that's a normal... I think most tracks don't...
They do a lot of things other tracks don't do.
Well, most tracks don't end a short track race under
that's
yellow.
That's true. No. Mm-hmm. That's where the green-white checkered kind of came to be.
Another inconsistency that I tried to argue was their rule books on their website has the rule saying that there is always a restart in a green-white checker. There is no rule on their website that says the rule that they stated. However, they claimed that it was in an amendment and it's posted, which is fine. I'm not trying to argue that really because I just felt like it was our due diligence to argue that we won the race because rightfully we were the first car back to the line based off of the scoring. If they would have cut the caution light on and turn and stopped scoring, which when the caution comes on electronically, race monitor freezes.
Okay.
So they never turned the caution on race monitor.
So whenever the caution came on is when it's the scoring that it should go by.
That was my argument, but they claimed that the scoring guy was told to turn the caution on and he didn't, and that is a human error, and they still honor their rule, which is fine. I get that. But it still,
like when does race monitor update each lap? When they cross the line. So either way, it was still going to show him second.
No.
If they reverted back.
They did not turn the caution on, so everyone completed lap 75.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, so the race was
over.
I'm
saying when they wrecked, if they would have turned the caution on.
It would have frozen.
It would have reverted back.
Even if he would have been in front of the 09 at that point,
it would have reverted
by scoring,
back.
It would have.
Correct.
Because it wouldn't have updated until they got back to the line.
Correct. So I felt like I had to argue because, rightfully, I feel like we won the race. However, based off of their rule, I understand why it's there. It's implemented for a safety reason. They don't want people racing back to the line, racing through big wrecks, and that was a pretty damn big wreck on the backstretch. So I get that.
That was a huge wreck.
So we'll just roll with the punches. We finished second, and that's just what it is. But it was a great run. I mean, we escaped with no damage. Jaden did a great job. He learned all weekend. First time ever in a late model stock car. I thought he adapted well, and he did a good job in the race. And I think, you know, a couple more races, and he could definitely be a factor in any late model stock race he runs. Another good showing for us up there as well. And then the limited late model race, we qualified third. And
well, let's go back to practice.
Well, I was going to get there. I was going to say, Gilbert... was a
Seth, you ain't heard about this.
Gilbert
yet.
Was a bitch.
I heard he was a bucket of shit.
Yes.
Okay, so go ahead. Let's get through that because I want to talk about practice.
So first of all, we thought we had a 535 gear in.
You're going right where I wanted to go.
But we forgot. It wasn't in upside down. We just grabbed the box. Gutman grabbed the box.
Without checking
and
the
I didn't need to do it notches. Either, but neither of us counted the teeth on the gear. We just assumed that it was the gear in the box, put it in, and instead of having a 535 in it, we had a 420.
So he go down like,
so it sounded like my Corolla going down the straightaway, turning about 3,000 RPM. So clearly, the bad thing is we were still faster than half the other cars.
But you're getting full throttle.
Yeah.
That's because you're just an absolute
you're a car
animal.
Sport driver.
Oh, no. Yes, according to some, you know. So we corrected that. And then we also had four total piece of shit pro shocks that came on Fido, actually, when we traded for Fido.
I wonder where they came from.
And it sat in the back. Yeah, it was actually three pros and one shitty AFCO. But Tri-County Limited has a rule where you can't bump stop, can't limit travel. So we had to take bump stops off. You also cannot run gas shocks. You have to run oil shocks, and they have to be non-adjustable. So that was really our only option if we wanted to go up there and run limited. So we did that, and man, it just took us a while to get the car arguably like where it was competitive. I mean, Took us forever to get the front end down. We just missed it on a lot, but we were guessing on that setup stuff anyways. So
well, Rob had a few ideas before you even got out there.
Yeah, we just threw a bunch of stuff at it and got it pretty solid come race time. Usually in Gilbert, we always trend free, and we were really tight, so we kept freeing the car up. Then we qualified third, inverted a three, so we started on the pole and ran up front, raced with Trey Knipe a little bit. But ultimately, one of the last restarts, we got way out front, car was flying, and then it just started trending free again. And the 59 car of Austin Harris ran us down. He was much better.
He was coming.
Yeah, I mean, he was considerable
just
amount better.
Just because you're coming don't mean you get to drive through people.
Called us and didn't really try to race us any, just drove into our left side and one and two, knocked me up the track, and I couldn't get back to him. So that was unfortunate. I really feel like he could have passed us without running into us, which
could've
I would have
put on a show for the fans.
Yeah, it would have been a good side-by-side race. Mm-hmm. I felt like he could have beat me without running into me.
He's
so
going to beat you.
I showed my displeasure a little bit, although it was a good race. I mean, it was still a good show for the fans, and you know, those guys work really hard. They're cut from the same cloth we are and race on a similar budget that we do. But, you know, I felt like I was rightfully upset at kind of how I raced and because I got ran into. But ultimately, it was still a good solid run, P2, and another solid weekend. One issue I did have throughout this whole thing, the racing aside, in his interview, he basically said that he was just a limited late model driver and that I'm a car store driver, and he doesn't understand why.
I'm just going to guess he's not a Kyle Busch fan either.
Well, he doesn't understand, you know, why I'm down there, I guess, racing with them. But my argument to that would be, one,
we're racing.
I've raced the exact same way they're racing pretty much my whole life. We have. We've raced on very little budget. We're also racing a race car that was built in 1990.
Probably older than he is.
It was older than his car, for
sure. I found us a KLB car earlier on Facebook.
A little bit newer than what we got?
$4,500.
Nice. We'll check that out.
I don't know if it even had a year.
So that kind of rubbed me the wrong way because, I mean, if you followed me at all in my racing career and followed our operation here at Huffman Racing, we've never had a huge budget, and we've been very fortunate. We've had good opportunities, and we've got good people working on our race cars, good, smart individuals that contribute, but we've never had a ton of funding or great, you know, new equipment. So that just rubbed me the wrong way. I understand that, you know, I run on the tour, but, you know, at the end of the day, I'm still racing a limited late model against other limited late models. It's not like we're out there with
in a damn car store late model race.
Late
them.
Model stock car, yeah. So, but either way, congrats to them. I mean, his dad Rock raced against my dad. So that's kind
of
cool.
Speaking of, there's one time I watched his dad was running limited. His dad was big and limited back in the day as well. And I remember his dad, I think it was Jeff Hageman. I'm pretty sure it was Jeff Hageman. Because he used to drive the Cheerwine car, Rock did, and Hageman was in the Lackey car. And I swear, he launched over, it was either left rear or the right rear, coming to the start finish line for the end of the race, and just rocketed over the top of them, Hageman. I'll never forget that about
at Tri-County?
No, at Hickory.
Oh, yep. They race both too. So Tri-County has some second and third generation drivers as well, similar to what Hickory did this year. And there's a lot of potential there for, I guess, storylines to develop through that, which I feel like all short tracks need. So hopefully I get to race with Austin more in the future, and maybe I can return the favor a little bit. And I'm going to have to learn to get a little meaner. I'm not very mean racing. That's been my issue for a while.
You said that in a text message to us before we went to the racetrack, did he not?
No, it was after.
Oh, what was
that? That was after. Yeah. That was in the debrief.
Yeah.
Still steaming.
Just got to get a little meaner. I don't know, man. I'm too nice. Granted, if I would have ran over him for a limited late model race, that would have been the story.
You would have looked like an asshole.
Yeah. And I wouldn't want to do that.
Beat up on kids.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to do that. Still a good solid weekend for us. You know, I mean, can't complain with 2 second place finishes and the race cars aren't tore up.
That's
so.
The key. Race cars are not tore up.
And there was some tore up shit.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, some tore up stuff. Two really bad wrecks. Street Stocks had a bad wreck, too.
Yoder win.
Yes, Yoder won, just like every other Street Stock race we watch him run in.
Where he don't get DQ'd.
Yeah, which I don't, he ain't been DQ'd ever.
He fixed all the shit.
When has he got DQ'd?
I think he did one.
Maybe once.
I think early in the year.
Not recently.
What is it, GXS race?
Maybe.
And then maybe a Hickory one time last year. I don't know. Marlon, let us know.
Now's a great time to thank our friends over at Sugarlands Distilling Company for taking good care of us here at Huffman Racing throughout the entire 2023 season. We've had a lot of High Rock Vodka to drink, a lot of Sugarland Shine, some Sipping Cream, all the good stuff. They've taken good care of us and kept our supply full. However, we've got a lot more to drink at the Christmas party coming up.
Woo! Get drunk, Seth!
Last time at the Christmas party, Seth had a quite the showing. He threw up in my yard and fell asleep on my van hood and then went home to his house after tearing my mantle down.
Oh, I forgot about that.
It was a shelf, not a mantle, a shelf.
So we got the Christmas party coming up, but we'll have a lot of High Rock Vodka there to drink, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Shallow Side's coming in to play again, and hopefully we make it bigger and better this time than we did in 2022. But thank you to our friends at Sugarlands Distilling Company and High Rock Vodka for all the support this year, and looking forward to 2024 with them.
More High Rock moments.
Yes, more High Rock moments in store. Speaking of drinking, I did have one question. What is your winter go-to drink? Doesn't have to be vodka.
Coca-Cola.
Doesn't have to be a partner, right?
Diet Sun Drop.
Coca-Cola.
No, an alcoholic beverage.
Fireball.
Busch N.A.
Seth, I've never in my life seen you drink Busch
N.A. Non-alcoholic.
yeah. RJ, you drink Fireball?
Hell no. Well, the only time I'm drinking Fireball is when your mama's handing it to me.
So what's your winter drink?
Coca-Cola.
No, and you don't drink any alcohol?
No, I don't.
So what are you going to drink at the Christmas party?
Oh, well, whatever tastes good, probably.
Well, that's pretty
probably
much
not that Sipping Cream.
No, that you puke
that, that don't do
time.
Well with me.
Well, you can't mix that with fried pickles like you did last time.
Probably can't mix it with much.
What kind of food we having?
Yeah,
I don't know. We got to get that catered. We got to figure that out. Last time we had good food.
Yeah, didn't Ron barbecue?
Yeah, Ron smoked. Cooked, and I think we had wings. And
Ronald, get on it.
It'll be a good time. I think Tanya catered too. Either way,
she did. She brought something.
My point, where I'm going with this is, I've been having this like inner debate. What is technically a winter alcohol? Like what are you supposed to drink? Like
eggnog?
No, not
that's
okay.
Good,
well, that
good,
is
good.
That
one,
is yes. That's a Christmas drink.
I
but
I, he asks a question. I give the appropriate answer, and it's still wrong.
Would whiskey be?
It
like
gets you warm, yeah.
Yeah.
So
you
anything
warm,
that gets you
feeling.
Warm.
Sitting by the
wild
fireplace.
Wild turkey.
Drinking some 101.
RJ, I could see you drinking some
I
wild
like
turkey.
I like some wild turkey.
You do like wild
yeah,
turkey?
Yeah, I like some wild turkey.
Wild turkey. I ain't had it in a while, but I like it.
There is a fifth of wild turkey sitting in the trophy room that Dad and them drank after one of his championships, and the bottle is still in there. It's pretty cool.
So it's how old, 20 years?
Well, that's going to be at least... I'm going to say it's from the 90s.
So 30 years.
Yes. Been in there. Yeah, it's sitting with the trophy and everything. I don't know. I'm curious what other people think. I guess if you're watching this in the YouTube,
if
on
you
the
like
YouTube
to drink,
channel, drop
you're
a comment.
Raging alcoholic.
Yeah. Drop a comment and let me know what your favorite winter drink is. If you're listening on one of the podcast platforms, then hop on over to our Huffman Racing YouTube channel and let us know what your favorite winter drink is. And if you don't have one, that's perfectly fine too. But another thing I want to talk about, we kind of touched on it before the show, but the Thanksgiving Classic at Southern National Motorsports Park is coming up, obviously Thanksgiving weekend, or just after Thanksgiving, I believe. I can't remember how they exactly do that. I think it's just after Thanksgiving. But they made a post on Facebook where they put PJ1 down or some type of sticky shit up against the wall all the way around the racetrack. And RJ thinks that nobody's going to go up there and run.
Yeah, I don't think nobody's going to go up there. Because first of all the junk's going to fly up there. Then somebody's going to go up there and clean it off.
So my first question for you, both of you.
Somebody will go up there.
I agree.
Will.
Somebody will. But my
at
first
least
question.
Try.
Should short tracks be doctoring the track surface like the Cup Series does? I'm going to say, I'm going to say a hard no. But
you're a hard no.
I'm a hard no.
I feel
no.
like when it comes to short tracks, most of them provide good racing already.
Right. I agree. I don't think you need to doctor it.
No.
But if it's an option that you're willing to, as a promoter, if it's an option you're willing to have or take part in, then maybe think about it a little bit harder.
Some tracks should think about fixing their shitters before they think about traction compound.
I mean, what happened when they decided they were going to start with Bristol?
Oh, they went up there and ground the top away.
No, so when they reconfigured it, first of all.
Well, they should have known everybody was going to go to the higher banking.
I just think that a lot of times whenever there is alterations made to try to enhance the racing product, it 9 times out of 10 makes the racing product worse.
Well, it's very few times where it makes it better. I personally was a fan of Flat Homestead. Flat Homestead. Well, they went in there.
It's like second gen Homestead, right?
Correct.
Well, it was like a rectangle.
Correct. It looked like Indy.
Fun fact, Dad raced on all three configurations.
It looked like Indy, and then they made it flat, but with not a square, but an oval. And then they went in and tore that up and added the progressive banking. That was our real introduction to progressive banking was when Homestead did it. And Homestead produced some great racing. That's why it was the season's finale for so long. So guess what? Everybody else wanted to do progressive banking. Kansas came along with progressive banking. Did it? I'm pretty sure it did.
Kansas has progressive banking.
It has it now. I think initially it had it as well. Chicago was regular banking. Then when they reconfigured Bristol, here we go with that progressive banking again. Ruined that place. It should have stayed one consistent banking from bottom to top. Who else? There's another track I feel like that has it. Anyways, progressive banking is not... Once something works for one track, everybody else wants to try it at other tracks. And that's not always the
case. That's racing in general.
But
Definitely monkey see, monkey do. But yes, I agree.
Monkey see, monkey do.
Good I just feel like tracks go through natural progression. You know, there's times where they have a lot of grip, obviously, early in a pavement life.
Yes, naturally.
And you're going to be more one groove at times when you have more pavement life. And then you go through a middle stage where there's good multi-groove racing. And then...
Let's just try county.
And then as the track ages even more, it becomes more of a one groove track again as it kind of ages out and the track gets more abrasive and things of that nature. So right now, Southern National is a very one groove track on the bottom. That's why they're trying to change it up. So... We'll see. It might provide good racing. It might not.
I just feel like the corners there just are more inviting to be on the bottom than it is to run the top.
Well, there's a ton of racetrack that you don't use there.
Yes. Huge amount.
So if with them putting that strip all the way up against the wall, and I don't even know what it is. I mean, it looks like traction
Coke syrup.
Yeah. I mean, it's something sticky because that's what they posted, but. Who knows what it is? But they haven't really had very many cars at Southern National all year. Car count's been terrible. They tried to race on Sundays, which I'll commend them for trying something different, try to get some cars for the national deal, but they just couldn't get them.
They tried a midweek deal, too, didn't they?
They tried the midweek deal. That didn't work out great either. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens at the Classic. We will not be running that, but I'll be watching it for sure, probably with a liquor drink in my hand at some point in time. So, we'll see what happens with it. I'm sure you can keep up with all that on Flow Racing. I believe that race is broadcasted on Flow. It was last year anyway, I think. Maybe they had their own broadcast last year. I can't remember. But, what's next for us? So, 2 weeks. First of all, this weekend, I'll be at Caraway for the Cars Tour. It's my last race with Nelson Motorsports and the Cars Tour finale for 2023. So, trying to finish on a solid note there. Try to build some momentum going into next year. And just put together another solid run and a good finish, a good clean finish there at Caraway. I think I finished 12th the first time I went there, and it wasn't very good, but it was a stout field.
Let's get another top five.
Yeah, a good top five, I think, would be a good finish. But for Huffman Racing,
checkers or wreckers,
we will be headed to the South Carolina 400 at Florence Motor Speedway for the second year in a row. We went last year. We made the show. There were 60-some cars, but we got in a wreck. Pretty early. That ended our night. RJ also got in a fight with Flynn in the van. Which
you egged that shit on.
Been well documented. I tried to end it.
Bullshit.
Yeah, I just wanted you guys to make up. Kiss and make up, you know?
Rich ended it.
Yeah, y'all was all scared of Rich.
Apparently he ended his race car, too.
Yeah, Rich crashed this weekend, unfortunately. The old Denver Dynamo dynamoed the ass end of a car right setting still, yeah. So then somebody dynamoed his ass. Hopefully, actually, I don't think his car was too bad. Luckily, he hit pretty square, so I don't think it got the front clip. Bent the hell out of a truck arm, but I don't think it got the rear clip either. So Rich survived and got lucky there.
Yeah, it looked like just a radiator on the front.
Yeah, Earl's going to live to see another day. So Florence Motor Speedway, we'll update you on that next week, kind of the plan for it, but going to be a lot of fun. We may not have an episode. Actually, we may not have an episode next week unless we do one remote, which is possible because I will be fishing at the Outer Banks.
How are we going to do that?
A Zoom call.
We could do it through Zoom or possibly Discord, RJ.
Okay.
Maybe.
Does Seth know how to use a Discord?
He does not, but Seth could also come over here and just get on this computer.
Yeah, but he doesn't know how to use a Discord.
Okay, well, we'll have to figure that out. That's TBD on next week's episode. We're at that point in the show. It's RJ's favorite point in the show. Thank you for that, Seth. We're going to review some reviews, RJ. You ready?
Yep. Lay them on me.
This guy named Brad, he gave us 4 stars.
Four stars, well.
Boo, Brad.
Questionable thought process.
He asked if I would ever drive a dirt late model or have any interest in dirt racing.
Oh, he's a dirt guy, that's why.
Well, I mean, I think it would be cool to drive a dirt late model, but absolutely. Brad, why the 4 stars, man? What did we do to you?
Yeah, seriously.
On to the next.
Yep.
Mm.
This one's 5 stars.
All right, 5 stars.
It's probably legs diced.
Okay, whoa.
Yeah, I think. What? Actually, oh, just kidding. Well, that's the name, but also the title, the subject is Dennis. So must be from Dennis. Or Denise, possibly.
How's it spelled?
Well, it's spelled like Dennis.
Okay, so it's Dennis. Denise is not spelled like Dennis.
5 stars. He says, I really enjoy the podcast, informative and entertaining, and he asked if we could get RJ a big boy chair. But here's the issue, Dennis.
He does have a big boy chair. He's just a little boy.
Yes. Little boy, man. Big boy chair.
Little man.
Little man.
You got that LMS. Well,
no, really, the major problem is if we have RJ a larger chair, he will not talk into his mic.
So, that's a good point.
So the shorter chair allows him to speak into the mic, and now we don't have any audio issues.
I've also requested a headset that has a microphone.
Well, stiff request. We're working on that. We don't have any headsets. It's a different...
What's the point of the headset?
You can hear yourself talk, and you can hear like each other talk.
I can hear y'all just fine.
So can I. So I just, you know, it's not needed right now. Not needed. But that's all the reviews we got. We had one other 5-star review. Just says, hey, Landon. So thank you for that.
And that's a 2-star review.
It's 5 stars.
I give it 2.
Well, okay.
I'm tired of people damn talking to you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's episode 29 of Huff and Racing.
How dare they? How dare they talk to the only person that brings followers to our podcast?
What do you mean he's RJ, the only one?
Suck it.
What do you mean he's the only one?
To be fair, if it wasn't for Landon, nobody would know who you are.
Oh, there's plenty of people who know who I am. Well, just in different circles.
Not publicly.
RJ, I just want you to know you do have the power to end Landon's career and popularity.
Well, if you, don't be searching the Raging Rhino on any other sites. You might find RJ. You might find RJ in his second personality.
Second life.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much for all the support on this podcast, man. We have a lot of fun with it. Thank you to those who watch on the YouTube channel. And if you're only a listener and you would... prefer to watch this.
Yeah, you can see our ugly mugs on YouTube.
You can go over to YouTube on the Huffman Racing YouTube channel, and you can watch these full-length episodes, which hopefully we can continue to upgrade the production level. Right now, we just have one camera. But
yeah, I meant to tell you, we should have recorded with the GoPro.
Yeah, we could possibly...
That's probably the better idea.
We could do that, yeah. I would rather all the audio roll through one thing, because it's a lot easier for me to edit. But
can you not mute it?
I could, but... We'll see.
I was pissed because you were late when I got here, so I didn't even think about it.
Yeah, but I really wasn't late. Informed everybody.
Well, hold on. You told us at 2:15 you weren't going to be available till 3:30.
Yeah, hour and 15 minute heads up.
That is terrible. Because I had texted RJ at what, 1:30?
I'll tell you exactly what time, because Seth is responsible.
And asked him what time he got off work.
Seth texted me at 1:22.
Because I needed to go get up
dog food.
Medication and dog food. So I was trying to plan ahead so we'd be on time. I leave my paying job to get done, to be here for this free labor bullshit, and then you text us an hour in advance to tell us you're going to be late.
An hour or 15 minutes in advance? Because that sounds like 15 minutes to me. 2:15 is 15 minutes before 2:30, and 2:30 is the agreed upon time.
Thank you guys so much for listening to Huffin' Racing Radio. We will possibly be back next week, or we might have our first week off in a while. But thank you guys so much, and we will talk to you guys in the next episode.